Chapter 17. The Blacksmith's New Son-in-Law. Rabbi Nachman Yisrael and his two sons-in-law gave Baruch a warm farewell as he set off on his journey towards Deborah Missel. As he walked, he thought about the fascinating title given to the Tzaddik of Podolia, the Baal Shem Tov. Baruch sensed that the name suggested a most unusual personality, and he was eager to discover more about the Tzaddik. Had he received this impression from the sense of awe and mystery that he detected in Nassim Shlema's voice? Regardless, Baruch resolved to carefully investigate the matter at the first opportunity. Baruch reached Deborah Missel. Eliezer Reuven, the blacksmith, was delighted to see him and told him of everything that had happened in the town since Baruch's previous visit. He shared the story of Reb Avram Binyamin, the wool comber, who had suddenly become a wealthy man. Avram Binyamin would work hard all day cleaning wool. Despite his efforts, he barely earned enough to survive. He had been blessed with many children, and he also shared his home with his elderly parents. His household was terribly poor, without sufficient food and clothing. Just a few months before Baruch's visit, everything changed. The wool comber's son, Shlaimka, returned home after a few years of learning in a distant yeshiva. Shlaimka was blessed with an exceptionally sharp mind, and it had always disturbed him to see his father working so hard and earning so little. He decided that upon his return from yeshiva, he would do something about it. For a number of days, Shlaimka locked himself in one of the rooms of his parents' house and busied himself with sketches and plans. Then, one evening, he emerged beaming and announced with a victorious smile, "Here, we have a machine." "What's a machine?" his parents asked him in wonder. "Wait a little and you'll understand everything," responded Shlaimka mysteriously. Shlaimka rushed out of the house with his drawings in hand and paid a visit to the home of Beryl the carpenter and Avram the tinsmith. The three of them worked together for 3 weeks until the project was completed. It was then clear to all that Shlaimka, with the help of Beryl and Avram, had built a wool combing machine to help his father earn a livelihood. It was not long before people began streaming to the home of Avram Binyamin in order to see the wondrous invention. Work that used to take a month to complete could now be done in just a single day. Wealthy wool merchants from all the surrounding areas began sending their wool to Avram Binyamin for processing with his new machine. Almost overnight, he rose from extreme poverty to great wealth. "And what is news in your own home?" Baruch asked Eliezer Reuven the blacksmith. "Oh, I forgot to tell you," exclaimed the blacksmith. Joy spread across his face. "Baruch Hashem, we just celebrated the marriage of our youngest daughter." Baruch's heart swelled with genuine joy to hear the good news. This was also the perfect opportunity to inform the blacksmith about his own wedding that was scheduled for just a few months from now. Before the blacksmith was able to respond to Baruch's wonderful news, they heard urgent cries for help emerging from the direction of the smithy. Rushing inside, they saw a frightening sight. A non-Jewish peasant had arrived at the smithy in order to have something fixed, but while he was waiting for Eliezer Reuven to return, a spark flew out of the furnace and set the peasant's jacket on fire. The terrified peasant was running in wild circles like a cat chasing its own tail. Remaining calm, Eliezer Reuven and Baruch grabbed the peasant and lay him down on the ground. They rolled him over and over until the flames were extinguished. The peasant had not been harmed, but he had received a terrible shock. They handed him a glass of water and he sat down to recover. Just then, a tall young man with a wide, friendly grin appeared in the doorway. "No," he announced, "this reminds us of a Mishnah. If a spark flies out from beneath the smith's hammer and causes damage, the smith must pay for the loss. We must be thankful, however, that the damage was only to the man's jacket and not to the person himself," the young man concluded. Eliezer Reuven turned to face Baruch. "Meet my youngest son-in-law, Yitzhak Shaul," he boomed in delight, waving his hand towards the young man in the doorway. Turning to his son-in-law, he announced, And this is my dear young friend Baruch, a very special bacher, who had just told me that he is soon to be married." Baruch and Yitzchak Shaul shook hands warmly and were soon lost in conversation. Leaving the smithy, they wandered towards a small hillside that was hidden from view by a thicket of trees. From the hilltop, they were able to watch the winding river that flowed nearby. Baruch was delighted when, at the beginning of their conversation, Yitzchak Shaul mentioned the Baal Shem Tov. He was pleased to discover that Yitzchak Shaul was a follower of the wondrous tzaddik from Padalia. Yitzchak Shaul shared an interesting teaching of the Baal Shem Tov on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. "Our sages teach, who is a wise person? One who learns from everyone." The Baal Shem Tov added, "Is it truly appropriate to learn from everyone? Even from people with awful behavior? Surely it is better not to learn from these kinds of people." "However," explained the Baal Shem Tov, "there are some people from whom we should learn how to behave appropriately and how to do good things. And there are other people from whom we learn how not to behave and what we should not do. We must certainly take a lesson from everyone we meet and from everything we see." Over the next few days, Baruch was able to notice important differences between Eliezer Reuven's two older sons-in-law and his newest, younger son-in-law. The first two were always in a serious mood. They walked around with stern faces and barely knew how to smile. Yitzchak Shaul, by contrast, was always happy and joyful, smiling and friendly to everyone he met. In addition, although Yitzchak Shaul was no less an excellent scholar than his elder brothers-in-law, he did not see it below himself to help his father-in-law every now and again, performing simple jobs in the house or smithy. Overall, Yitzchak Shaul had a calm and pleasant personality. He fit Chazal's description of a person whom Hashem finds pleasant and people find pleasant. Baruch wondered whether Yitzchak Shaul was so different in character from his brothers-in-law because he was a student of the Baal Shem Tov. Baruch was intensely curious by nature. He enjoyed questioning and analyzing in an attempt to get to the root of everything he saw or learned. He approached Moshe Leib, the second son-in-law of the blacksmith, and inquired about his personal history. Moshe Leib explained that he had attended a yeshiva known as Nechama Nachum Tevel's yeshiva. Baruch had heard of this yeshiva because it was located in his hometown of Vitebsk. He had always wondered why it had such a strange and awkward name. He now discovered that it was the result of a most fascinating piece of history that began almost 200 years earlier. At that time, a man named Reb Nachum left his residence in the city of Prague and settled in the town of Sibej. The town was situated along the border between Poland and Sweden. Eventually, Reb Nachum was selected to lead the Jewish community of that district. Sibej was part of the estates of a Polish count named Bonch Zinkowicz. The count later decided to move to the city of Krakow, and he looked for a wealthy individual willing to buy his massive property. He happened to mention this to his friend, the leader of the Jewish community. Reb Nachum promised to help him find a customer for his estate.